Jesus talks through Maria Valtorta to us of his passion.
The following is an abridged version of a dictation which Jesus gave to Maria Valtorta after her descriptions of the passion. He tells her of the costs for himself and for Mary in suffering the tortures of being saviours. It was with generosity, heroism, patience, meekness, perseverance and strength that they demonstrated their love to save us. Jesus says, "You have seen my sufferings. They have been applied to make amends for your sins. No part of my body was excluded from them, because nothing in man is free from sin. But I have come to cancel the effects of sin with my blood and my sorrow, washing your individual physical and moral parts, to cleanse them and to strengthen them against culpable tendencies. My hands were wounded and imprisoned after they had become tired carrying the cross, to make amends for all the crimes committed by the hands of man. For the illicit freedom of your hands, I had mine crucified, nailing them to the cross, depriving them of every movement. The feet of your Saviour, after becoming tired and bruised on the stones of the way of my passion, were pierced and immobilised to make amends for the evil you do with your feet, making them the means to go to your crimes, thefts, fornications. My flesh was bruised, contused, torn, to punish in me the exaggerated cult, the idolatry, that you give to your flesh and to the flesh of those whom you love more than you love God. My head was tortured with countless tortures and blows, with exposure to the sun, with shouts and with thorns, to make amends for the sins of your minds. To feel the crown move continuously without being able to move my head, and not being able to lean it anywhere without being tortured. Think of what the shouts of the crowd, the blows on my head, the scorching sun were for my tortured, aching, feverish head. Consider what pain I felt in my poor brain since I went to the agony of Friday, aching all over because of the efforts made on Thursday evening. And in my head, my eyes, my mouth, my nose, my tongue, each had their torture. To make amends for your glances, so anxious to see what is evil and so forgetful of seeking God. To redress the too many, too false, filthy and lustful words that you utter, instead of using your lips to pray, to teach, to console. My nose and my tongue suffered their tortures to make amends for your gluttony and your sensuality of olfaction, through which you incur imperfections which are the ground for graver sins. And you commit sins through eagerness for superfluous food without taking pity on those who are hungry. My organs were not exempted from suffering, not one of them. Suffocation and cough for my lungs, contused by this cruel scourging and suffering because of the position on the cross. Breathlessness and heart trouble, as my heart was out of its place and had been injured by the merciless flagellation, by the moral grief that had preceded it, by the ascent under the heavy weight of the cross, and by anemia, the consequence of all the blood shed. My liver was congested. My spleen was congested. The cruel bruises of my kidneys have been the most powerful chemical agent in the miracle of the shroud, almost crushed by the scourges. My kidneys were no longer able to work. Any doctor will realise what sufferings the toxins caused to me, as they were so plentiful as to produce an indelible impression. Thirst. What a torture is thirst, and yet you have seen it. Among so many, there was not one who gave me a drop of water, and fever, sunshine, heat, dust, loss of blood made your Saviour so thirsty. I refused the wine mixed with myrrh. I did not want any lessening of my suffering. Ah, the destiny of a victim is really severe, and blessed are those who choose it as their fate. That was the suffering of your Jesus in his innocent body. And I will not mention the tortures of my love for my mother and for her sorrow. That sorrow was required, but for me it was the most cruel torture. She was to be there, an angel of flesh, to prevent despair from assailing me, as the spiritual angel had prevented it in Gethsemane. She was to be there to join her sorrow to mine for your redemption. She was to be there to receive the investiture of Mother of Mankind. But to see her dying at each shudder of mine was my greatest sorrow. She did not curse, she did not hate. She prayed, she loved, she obeyed. Always a mother, to the extent of thinking among her tortures that her Jesus needed her virginal veil on his innocent body to defend his decency. She did not shout because her heart was broken, but because mine was pierced. She asked the Father the reason for that, not for her sorrow. Poor mother, there was a reason. It was that men should see the heart of God. You have seen it, Maria, and you will never forget it. She was necessary for the dawning church, of which a few hours previously she was created the mother. The church, like a newborn baby, needed the care and milk of a mother. Mary was to give it to the church by supporting the apostles, by speaking to them of the Saviour, and by praying for it. Now look at the lively, delicate sensitiveness of John's behaviour. He thought of the mother, and he went to her. But although he did not know that Mary was already living the tortures of her son, he decided that the time had come when Jesus needed his mother. He took her to him. He supported her. He defended her. John possessed the love of compassion as no other person except my mother possessed it. He is the head of those who love with such love. He is your master with regard to that. Follow him in the example he gave you of purity and love, and you will be great. Go in peace now. I bless you.